This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
If we lose faith in our future, can that help bring about the catastrophe we fear? One speaker at the March 2013 conference on Fukushima in New York caught my attention with his off-topic introduction. Donald B. Luria is a medical MD and a member of Physicians for Social Responsibility. He asked, "Are we losing our faith in the future? If we do, what are the likely consequences?" Luria was leading into his studies on the impacts of pessimism and his book titled Rethink, A 21st Century Approach to Preventing Societal Catastrophes. First, I'm going to play you 4 minutes from his comments at the symposium, The Medical and Ecological Consequences of the Fukushima Nuclear Accident. But he's talking about a lot more than that.
I've devoted myself to systems. Nuclear power is part of the energy system. And for a few moments, I'd like to focus on a broader context. If this conference makes the judgment that nuclear power should be restricted and then abandoned, it has, of course, huge implications for the energy mix that we use. It does more than that, though. It emphasizes, in my judgment, three interrelated questions. One relates to the mix that we are going to use for energy, and more directly, it raises the question as to why the United States and other nations have not developed a veritable Marshall Plan for the acquisition of alternative environmentally friendly energy sources. That we have not is an absolute disgrace. The second question is, if we move vigorously, when is it realistic to expect that we will have enough abundant alternative energy sources that we can profoundly reduce the use of fossil fuels? And related to that, since any realistic projection, even if we do move vigorously, indicates that it's going to be quite some time, what are we going to be using for our energy mix in the intervening years? Now, these three interrelated questions lead me to what I think is the most important, most critical single question and issue, and that is the following. At the rate we are going, in the absence of very vigorous action, when, that is, what year, do we reach the tipping point, beyond which the damage we're doing to the environment, global climate change consequences, are so severe that societal devastation and catastrophe is virtually inevitable? I believe that in the coming years, that is going to be the centerpiece of the debate. And why shouldn't it be? After all, what's at stake is the very survival of our society, at least a society as we know it now. Because I am interested in systems, a few weeks ago, I put together two systems diagrams related to the tipping point. One is pessimistic, the other optimistic. The pessimistic one assumes that we will continue with business as usual, that whatever actions we take are going to be inadequate, and that we do not manage successfully the critical determinants related to the tipping point, such as population size and population growth, CO2 emissions, control of methane sources, among others. And that these important factors, these determinants, then converging, the ones I mentioned plus others, will result in a tipping point with societal devastation. The optimistic scenario is just the opposite, that we will act vigorously, we will control and manage the determinants, and we will avoid the tipping point. Now, one other aspect that I think is worth mentioning. If people in our society, especially young people, get to believe that the pessimistic scenario is the more likely, that a tipping point will occur, that perception will likely result in loss of faith in the future. And that loss of faith in the future among people in the society has dire consequences for individuals and for the society, and is in point of fact virtually independent of whether the tipping point actually occurs. All that's needed is the perception that it will occur.
That was Dr. Donald B. Luria. I think he raises a deep problem for us all. To fill out his comments, I'm just going to read directly from Luria's explanation of his book, Rethink, as published online in September 2010. Quote, In 2005 and in 2007, I and my colleagues carried out national studies to assess the perceptions of people about their own future, the future of their country, and the future of the world. The respondents were divided into four age groups, 18 to 24 years, 25 to 44 years, 45 to 64 years, and over 65. In every age group, more than 80% were optimistic about their own future, but in every age group, the majority were pessimistic about the future of the United States and the world. Importantly, the majority in each of the four age groupings believed we are not able to solve or significantly mitigate the major problems facing us, such as terrorism, global warming, the potential for nuclear or biological warfare. These studies strongly suggested that Americans of all ages are well on their way to losing faith in the future. Since our last survey, more than 2 years ago, a number of events have occurred that almost certainly will accelerate that loss of confidence in the future, reduce optimism about one's own future, and increase the pessimism about the future of the United States and the world. There has been a severe recession, and with it, a terrible toll in lost jobs and diminished confidence. There is increasing distrust of Congress that seems unable to deal effectively with our most serious problems. The countries of the world, including the United States, appear unwilling to take the necessary actions to avoid catastrophic consequences of global climate change. We are told that unless healthcare costs are contained, our healthcare system will eventually bankrupt the country. Yet despite an extended and acrimonious debate, there is nothing to suggest our government has figured out a way to cope with or prevent this looming disaster. I fear we are now in great danger of a large percentage of the public having their hopes for the future battered, being overwhelmed by feelings of hopelessness in regard to our ability to cope with the major problems facing society. If that occurs, there are substantial societal and individual consequences. There will be a dramatic increase in the frequency and severity of anxiety and depression. There will be a much greater focus on hedonism, with increased risk-taking and pleasure-seeking, including the use of mind-altering drugs, both legal and illegal, alcohol included. There will be little attention paid to preventing or mitigating future problems and threats. Politicians, even more than now, will focus almost entirely on present issues, thereby making the future even more bleak. The depression epidemic will have physical and other consequences, with increased incidence of suicide and heart attacks, marital discord, inability to function effectively, and overeating, a well-known response to depression, that will exacerbate our obesity and diabetes epidemics. Make no mistake about it, loss of faith in the future is a very serious business. If widespread enough, it is society-threatening. There is, in my judgment, only one preventative. People, especially young adults, must be convinced that we as a society are still meliorist, that is, able to solve the major problems facing us by the dint of our own efforts. That, in turn, means our politicians and leaders must give the perception they are approaching major issues in potentially effective fashion. To do so, they must know when to use and how to use what I have called societally connected systems thinking. That is why I wrote the book Rethink, A 21st Century Approach to Preventing Societal Catastrophes. Now, the questions for me are, will my recommendations about how to approach major societal issues be implemented by educational institutions and the political establishment? Will the book be read by sufficient numbers of people to give societally connected systems thinking a chance? Will anyone even care? And that was a reading from Donald B. Loria talking about his new book. In my opinion, the book Rethink, A 21st Century Approach to Preventing Societal Catastrophes, looks a little academic for most of us. The ideas in it need to be popularized somehow. It's almost idealistic to think there is a social body, even government, that rationally analyzes our direction towards the future instead of taking bribes and takes action to avoid catastrophic futures. But that is just the negative thinking Luria is talking about. There have been some successes, haven't there? For example, we did manage to remove absolutely harmful substances from the food supply for a while, although that is lapsing. Humans in developed countries have set up a medical system. It's not available to all in the United States, of course. The Western nations managed to defeat the most evil regime that emerged in Europe in Nazi Germany. The Soviet Union and the United States managed to avoid an all-out nuclear war. But so far, there is no sign we are doing anything about climate change except making it worse, or about overpopulation or the unjust distribution of wealth, all of which can have fatal consequences. Recent news articles and studies show Americans and Brits are indeed turning to more and more psychiatric and illegal drugs. Suicides are still ongoing. Stress levels are very high. According to the signs listed by Loria, we are already engaged in loss of the future. As we heard, this in itself could determine our future, whether the expected disaster arrives sooner, later, or never. On the other hand, how can we change our direction if we don't know our current situation or the possible futures? Thinking happy thoughts and leading disconnected lives isn't going to do it. Let me know what you think. Write me, Alex Smith. The address is radio@ecoshock.org. radio@ecoshock.org. Find Radio EcoShock on facebook.com/radioecoshock. Our Twitter feed is @ecoshock. Please support Radio EcoShock by visiting our website at ecoshock.org. I'm Alex Smith saying join us next week as we thrash through the big questions and the small answers.